Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners, and welcome again to another episode of These Parts. My name is Elliot McNally, and of course you all know my co-host, Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
Elliot's going great. I'm a little, you know, I mean, call it sensitivity if you like, but you didn't say my brother and my friend as well as my co-host this week.
I like to mix things up a little bit. I like to keep you on your toes, as we all know. And if we're being honest, I'm a little upset with you right now.
Uh-oh, Elliot. Comes our classic moment in the show where we air our dirty laundry on air.
Well, you're actually wearing some clean laundry. I was really excited that we finally sold one of our These Parts subscription boxes. And now I see you're wearing the t-shirt from it, meaning it was you that bought it.
Elliot, I can see where you would get that idea, but actually I just opened it, pilfered the t-shirt, and then reboxed it, sent it out like that.
So the person that actually ordered it will be getting their subscription box sans our Make Maps McNally Again t-shirt.
Make Maps McNally Again. Mmm, as we like to call it. Yeah, I replaced it with one of those faux vintage soda pop t-shirts that you get at Target's.
Oh, I think our listeners might enjoy that more. And I guess this is just a disclaimer now that all our listeners signing up for our subscription boxes, you know, if you, for some reason, don't get something in the box you were supposed to, it's because Vince decided he liked it and wanted to keep it for himself.
Yes. You'll see right there on the page that you order the boxes on, we cannot guarantee that they won't be tampered with thoroughly.
By us or the USPS, whoever.
Corrupt USPS, Institution of Truman, et cetera, et cetera.
But, you know, hopefully those boxes contain some keepsakes, as much of a keepsake as this episode of the town we're in proves to be today, Vince.
Absolutely, Elliot. You know, I love towns that are living history lessons because you and myself and our great-great-grandfather Rand, here huge history buffs all. And this town is really a great way to not only learn about history, but to juxtapose it against the present.
I agree. It's a town, Vince, I think we should put on the map.
Great idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative pushpins. Get ready to stick a pin in Newtown, Virginia. Now, Newtown, on its surface, is a pretty normal town. The neighboring town of Fredericksburg is a colonial reenactment town. And what that means is that all the citizens are constantly reenacting how life was in the colonial era. And because of that, they are a little upset with Newtown's newfangled technology and are constantly trying to destroy it.
Absolutely.
Newtown is basically trying to get rid of its past at all times in the form of Fredericksburg.
Yes, so the people of Fredericksburg are reliving the year 1790 over and over again, and sometimes that includes sending out parties to try to settle new territory. When they wind up in Newtown, just a few short miles over, tensions rise and things tend to boil over. But don't take our word for it, listeners.
Yeah, with us to discuss all this and more is a citizen of Newtown who's constantly dealing with the people of Fredericksburg. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Sally Carlson. I'm a computer technician in my town.
Sally, thanks so much for being here, and thanks so much for taking time off of your computer job.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about, you know, all the issues of my town.
Yeah, and issues you seem to have. We drove in on our RV, and we were sort of accosted, if you could say that word, by a group of puritanical horsemen. Like, do you think that's a correct description of them?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think there were any turnpikes out here, but these people were on horseback and literally had pikes to turn to let us go by, and we had to pay the tax in the form of, you know, newfangled technology that we possessed. So, you know, we gave them a subscription box, obviously, and we gave them some paper and pens And I think we had like an old Game Boy in the back.
Wait, you gave away my old Game Boy?
We had to.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they like to collect all that stuff for burning later in the evening. It's a big pile. It's incredibly dangerous, though. The fumes from it are terrible. Mm. So if you stay around too late, I'd be a little careful.
Have they pilfered any of your computer technology?
They always try to. They tell me that it's not a real job and that I'm lying to them. I had someone break into my office last week and just throw rocks everywhere.
Are you sure that was someone from Fredericksburg or just your normal hater of computer technology?
I wasn't sure, but there was a pigeon with them and it had a note in its mouth that said, "We did this because we don't think you're real."
That is a telltale sign.
They always call us future people. They were like, "Get out of here, future people. This is our land." That's how I knew it was them and not someone from Newtown.
And in the interest of moving this episode in the future, can you take one of our pins and stick it in Newtown, Virginia?
Yes, I can.
And there it is. So can you tell us a little bit more about yourself in Newtown? Have you grown up here? Have you had to live with the people of Fredericksburg your entire life?
I have family from Fredericksburg. We moved when I was about four. My parents moved us from Fredericksburg into Newtown.
Oh, so were they colonial reenactors?
They were, but then my dad had sort of a falling out with them once. He acknowledged the existence of a cell phone as being, that they weren't around yet. I'm confused myself. A regular house phone, just the existence of telephones. Yeah, he had a falling out over that.
So he didn't even use one. He just acknowledged it exists.
Yeah. It's like you can't believe it's real. You have to also reject the whole society.
This is really fascinating. Here I thought the only problems they would have would be how big of a belt buckle to put on your hat or, you know, from what material to craft your pitchfork, but
how to style a cornucopia.
Style and size, Elliot. Style and size of cornucopia. Mm-hmm. Now,
there's a lot of buckles, too, though. I mean, those are also big problems for them. I mean, you have buckles on your shoes, on your belt, on your hat, on your wrist.
The advent of the zipper really helped people save time, and I feel like the people of Fredericksburg are just constantly buckling things.
Yeah, a lot of buckles.
And it's because of that their society is kind of buckling under the pressure of all of the futuristic towns surrounding them, particularly Newtown.
Elliot, I could tell that you you've done this a few times. Don't take your blog post title and subvert it into the episode, all right? Our listeners are catching on, and so am I.
My blog, for all you guys who don't know, if you want to read that blog, it's called Buckling Under Pressure, as Vince alluded to. I thought it was a pretty clever name, but the These Parts blog is, I think we have about 3 subscribers now on Tumblr, and it's kind of going full force.
I think part of our lack of subscriptions has something to do with the fact that it's just a Velcro slander blog where you just extol the criminalities and sins of Velcro as an invention.
Yeah, the blog title, it's the These Parts blog, so we get some of our listeners from These Parts, but then it's Velno instead of Velcro.
Well, I think we've sort of hijacked this conversation, much like a Fredericksburgian might hijack a shipment of microchips. So maybe we should move on to our first segment, Elliot.
I agree. That segment, listeners, is called Local Legends.
So listeners, small town probably has one of these as well, but it feels like every place we go has some person in the past or still in the present who's had a huge impact on not only the town's creation and its shaping, but also its lore and legend. That's what we're talking about in Local Legends, and I think our guest has a very interesting person in mind. She was teasing it before we started our conversation, and I can't wait to jump in.
Yeah, we have, I'd say our local legend is a woman named Olive. We call her Olive the Shop because she has a shop that's right on the border between the two towns, and she used to, when she got batteries into her shop, it caused a huge rift. So they burned down the part that had any technology because they weren't trusting of it. She's basically this woman who started one of our first big arguments between the towns because she accepted technology. And even just like the existence of batteries. I think she had a few sodas in there, and they were didn't think plastic was a real thing.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Did she decide to build her shop on the border, or was her her shop already established and then the towns were formed?
She built it on the border. Mm. She is also kind of likes to argue with people, but I guess maybe it depends. It depends when you believe the future people really appear.
That's an interesting question. Seeing as how I don't know that the future people ever appeared so much as just emerged over time, or maybe I'm misunderstanding. But you know, I'm glad you brought up Olive the shop, because she's still selling stuff, and she has a little bit different of a business model nowadays, if I'm understanding correctly. She likes to take the old, the rustic, and insert technology in unexpected ways.
Yeah, she does. She loves to do that. Let's think. I mentioned a pigeon earlier, and that was a real pigeon, but she sells animatronic pigeons as well. She sells a lot of sort of, you know, vintage things, we would say, like old cob pipes that they light up when you turn them on, you know, bonnets that have built-in headphones.
That sounds legitimately pretty cool.
It's like a Bluetooth bonnet.
She's very resourceful.
So when she sells these things to the Frederickburgians, do they know that there's technology in it, or it's unbeknownst to them and they just think it's a random perk of the product?
Initially, I think a lot of them just buy it not knowing, because, you know, they don't have a big way other than word of mouth to understand she is tricking them eventually. So they'll buy it, but then normally that causes more problems when they realize, like, their headphones or that their bird isn't real. When that happens, normally there will be, you know, fights or fire, or someone will be killed.
Do they have to punish themselves for unwittingly using the technology?
Yeah. Well, I'd say yes. A lot of mental, you know, punishment. But normally they have to ask a fellow townsman to pick a good punishment for them.
I've heard a lot of punishments are in the town of Frederiksberg are similar to, like, Catholic rosaries, except you have to make a certain amount of wax candles depending on the severity of your crime.
Yes, there's a lot of wax candle making.
And flagellation.
Yes. Or you get hit with the candles once you make them.
Very long wicks on the candles. I gotta give Olive a shout out. I bought a butter churn there, and it turns out it's also a subwoofer. So $7,500 well spent.
So much innovation is happening over there. It's unbelievable, really.
So I'm assuming, because you're a computer engineer, you work with her to update these old-time products.
Yeah, definitely. She'll come over and she'll be like, I have this idea, and I'll sort of help her, create it sometimes. I mean, she's 85 years old, so I'm shocked by a lot of the stuff that's still coming out of her, but she's like really feisty and has got a lot of good ideas, and all of my present day knowledge, all of my technical skills are incredibly helpful.
I have a product here that I picked up that I think it's a Sally and Olive original. It looks like a toothbrush, but then there's just a computer motherboard hot glued to the side of it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite pieces that we've made.
It's really cool.
Incredibly useful.
Yeah. And I'm sure the people of Frederiksberg flip out when they see this, how technologically advanced it is.
You could lose a finger for owning something like that.
I perused Olive's wares a while, and it occurred to me that you must be really well-versed in some sort of archaic and outdated operating systems. I was checking out a mirror that was also a tablet, and it was running Windows 2.
I mean, we also think that Windows 2 is one of the best systems, you know, out there. Why go too far beyond it? But, I guess some of it's a little outdated. You know, we are a little more behind because we have a whole town in the 1700s right next to us. Sometimes it's hard to get new updated versions of Windows.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I mean, I love America Online. I just feel like, why move from that to something else? Like, I like to hear welcome when I sign on to my computer. I like to know that I got mail, not just like a thing or like a...
Thank you. And can I personally ask on behalf of every sane person, whatever happened to Alta Vista?
I don't know. I mean, we have some Alta Vista users for sure in town. I can get them for you for your next, if you ever feel like talking to someone else around.
I mean, my weekly Alta Vista support group call-ins are usually enough, but If you could give me some addresses.
Yeah, I can totally do that. I'll email them to you after this interview.
Cool. I'll have to reinstall my Netscape.
I love it.
Man, if you guys are done networking, I'd like to get back to the show.
My apologies, Elliot.
I've heard, though, that Windows 2 is actually so old that people of Fredericksburg are allowed to use it.
Yeah, I guess maybe there. Yes, I've heard there's a group that's sort of in between. They're the new age Fredericksburgers.
The like 1791 era.
Yeah, they're like slowly moving into things, and Windows 2. They can. A few of them have like welcomed it as seemingly. It makes sense for them to use. Very similar to Turning Better.
The other people of Fredericksburg are using just Windows 1, which is looking through a window.
Yeah, they're also called Peeping Toms, but,
you guys have a huge problem with that, too, because the people of Fredericksburg, who maybe are younger, are really curious as to what's going on in Newtown.
Yeah, they also don't have TVs. So if you think about it, like, they just need something to watch and entertain them. So, yeah, you do often look out your window and you'll find children staring at you. It's a little startling at first, but you get used to it.
Yeah, there's several children outside the RV we're recording in right now, just looking in, peering at us. It's very unsettling.
Though I have to say there's some charm in the fact that their hat buckles are so heavy that they're kind of pulling them down over their little eyes.
Yeah, they're quite charming with their giant hat buckles. If you throw some seeds at them, they'll dance.
Oh, wow. Do you have any seeds?
There should be some.
How do we not? We have to have seeds here somewhere.
Someone's actually, while we've been talking about this, has come over and given the children seeds, and now they're dancing. So now we have a little entertainment.
Yeah. They're excellent dancers.
We don't need to split hairs. I think excellent might be a slightly generous categorization, but we're already learning so much, Elliot and Sally. Why don't we answer a few questions?
I think we should, Vince. Let's move on to our next segment. Wouldn't you like to know?
So listeners, Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity to write into the show with your specific questions, queries, and inquisitions for our guest and about our town. We have time each week and every week for three questions, and this week is no different. Elliot, do you have the first one for us?
I do. This one comes from Chris in Richmond, Washington.
Hey, thanks for writing, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Chris says he loves the town of Fredericksburg, Virginia. Hasn't been to Newtown yet because there's not as much of a draw. I guess that's debatable, Chris. But he says he's heard that there is somewhat of a rift between the two communities, and yes, that's probably an understatement. And Chris was wondering what technological advancements are most offensive to the people of Fredericksburg.
Great question. I'm assuming, Sally, you have some great insight into it.
Yeah, I'd say the refrigerator is a really big problem. Mm-hmm. They think we're snobs for keeping our food cold all the time. Ice boxes are apparently fine. There are a lot of people who... There's a very long-standing argument about that.
To be fair, though, you purposely keep all food cold to somewhat rub it in their face. There's a lot of, like, cold soups, gazpachos eaten in Newtown just to prove a point.
Yeah, we don't have hot soup here, just cold soup, which I think makes total sense. It's a lot tastier, and I also think just, being better and right is more delicious to me personally than hot soup.
I love the unbiased, open-minded opinions that our guests bring to the show, Elliot. I never tire of it. So refrigeration is a big thorn in their proverbial tuchus. What else sort of gets their dander up?
Well, it gets quite hot, and sort of handheld personal fans, which I know you wouldn't think of these as a sort of modern day technology, but they are very upsetting to the people of Fredericksburg. So you'll often see people with handheld personal fans, the ones that are electric.
Well, they see that as taking jobs away, because in colonial Fredericksburg, that's someone's job to fan you.
Yes. But I mean, that's a bulky way to get to cool down.
Yeah, it doesn't store very easily.
It's a lot of excess human weight that, like, you just don't need. So we think you may as well just replace it with batteries. Mm-hmm. Who needs them?
Well, I know that they are pretty offended by broader technological concepts, but they also are pretty offended by some nuanced things in the town. For instance, there's a lot of screen printing shops in Newtown, and the people of Fredericksburg hate this. They hate the idea that a picture can be molded into the very fabric of a shirt.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that stems from the fact that they insist on wearing heavy wool everythings. and that wool is a terrible medium for screen printing.
You can't screen print a buckle.
That's right. That's, you can't argue with that. That's just the science.
That's a, like a slogan they have. It's, you can't screen print a buckle, and they'll yell it at you if you walk down the street with a shirt.
We heard that on our way into town. We didn't really know what it meant.
Well, now you do. I'm glad I could help you with that.
Well, then they threw seeds at Vince, and Vince started dancing for a while, so I think it all worked out.
Something just came over me.
Yeah, you just knew. I mean, you know, a lot of the seeds are quite heavy, so it makes sense if you're trying to avoid them.
Some of them were buckles.
Yeah, those buckle seeds.
Well, hopefully that clears things up for Chris. And I think, Vince, you have the next question.
I sure do. It comes from Teresa in San Francisco, California.
Great. What does Teresa want to say?
Teresa says, happy that you're doing a little expose on Newtown. I'm also a fan of its neighboring town, Fredericksburg. Close to show. In fact, I'd love to talk about a film that was produced in joint between the two of them.
Really? Wow, this seems strikes me as unlikely, but okay.
Of course, Newtown produced the film, but the idea came from Fredericksburg, based on a newsletter called A Treatise on the Economy of the Free States in Relation to Banjos Played Opposed One Another. And she continues to say, there's a long pause, there's a lot of blank space in the letter, so I had to pause. She says, the movie, of course.
This is a new page of the letter now.
That's right. We're on page 4, actually. It says, the film, of course, I'm referring to is called Deliverance, filmed and shot in Newtown.
That is a very elaborate letter for something that is pretty wrong.
You should have seen how much of it I didn't read. That was some serious self-editing that went into that.
Wow. I'm glad for our sakes. Sally, have you heard about this at all? I thought that Deliverance was a 1970s Oscar-nominated thriller that was shot and set in Georgia.
Yeah. No, we have some movies, but I haven't heard of Deliverance being from here. But, you know, I could be wrong. Some information doesn't get to me correctly.
You know, Vince, I think I might have the solution here.
Elliot, strangely enough, it seems there's always some sort of tangential solution available when we get this question every once in a while.
It seems weird, but I was just reading about this the other day randomly. It seems that Burt Reynolds is a method actor. You know, who can fault him for that? He wants to bring authenticity to his roles. But what he does is he figures out when the movie he's going to be in is supposed to take place, and then he subtracts 200 years from that, and then lives life up until the movie is being filmed.
That sounds like a reasonable method.
Yeah. So he spent time in Fredericksburg as a colonial American, and then went all the way up until the 70s when Deliverance was filmed, in the matter of weeks. So I think that's probably why people are confused, because Burt Reynolds lived in Fredericksburg for a while as a butter churner.
Yes.
So that's confirmed. That, listeners, that's confirmation from Sally about Burt Reynolds' lifestyle. Yeah.
Sally, was it true, though, that he was asked to leave town because his mustache was a technological advancement that they do not put up with?
Yeah, it just didn't seem real to them. Not believable.
Facial hair is too advanced.
I've also heard it incited lust in both genders within the town, so he was chased out.
I mean, you don't want to get too sexual in either town.
Oh, yeah, then definitely get Burt Reynolds out of there if you don't want to get sexual.
Yeah, exactly. He was oiling himself up a lot in public and just didn't...
Well, that was using a lot of different oils and butters that they were making, and so...
He went through several whales worth of kerosene just glistening down his body.
I mean, even thinking about it, I'm missing him. I'm just saying this.
Sally, well, let's not linger any longer on the topic of Reynolds. Let's move on to the last question, which you seem to have in front of you.
It says, Dear Sally, this is from, it looks like it's a letter from Jenny Baker from Vancouver, Canada.
Great. Hey, great.
She wrote, can you tell us about any special holidays that you have between the two towns that might be important? To which I say, yes, we do actually have one very unique holiday, which is when in the middle of the night both towns terrorize each other with their own ways of life. So we go in with flashlights and you know, loud speakers, and we wake them up in the night, and they throw seeds at us. It's a fun holiday we have every February 29th. So it doesn't actually happen every year.
Well, so when you were reading Jenny's letter, I was thinking, you know, that's great. There's maybe a time of the year where you guys put your differences aside and come together as towns. But you're saying that this holiday, you're actually bubbling those differences even more to the surface.
Yeah. What's kind of like, you know, when you get, you're good at something and someone else isn't, and you want to be like, look how good we are at this. That's sort of what we're doing. You know, we're like, look at our technology.
And they're like, look at our seeds.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so many seeds over there. They have a lot of seed trees and acorns.
A lot of seed trees.
Yeah.
I did notice that. It's a beautiful town.
Is it true that you guys celebrated this holiday once by giving them a wooden cornucopia, which in the middle of the night, people came out of and threw different batteries all over their town?
Yes, that is true. That was the great cornucopia battery display.
Appropriately named.
Yes. We didn't want to get too complicated with the name, but it was a really great, it was nice. It was really satisfying to watch.
To watch their society kind of crumble under the,
yeah,
the weight of different D or C or A batteries.
Yeah, yeah. The D ones really freak them out, so... I like to hide them under people's pillows.
I mean, it's a shame we missed that by only a few days, Elliot, but it sounds like we gotta make it next year.
I think so, too.
You never have such fun. Such a good time.
You haven't lived, I imagine, until you see a bebuckled individual fleeing, screaming from a D battery. All right, guys, we've answered some tough questions so far, but... I think there's a little more we have to talk about.
I think we have to talk about how we talk about things, Vince, in a segment we call Say What.
So, listeners, Say What is our deep dive into the local lingo and lexicon of the places that we visit. It goes without saying that most small towns around the country will have their own sayings, their own shorthand, their colloquialisms that lend a little flavor to their culture, and we want to explore them so when you visit, you can start off on the right foot. Sally, what kind of things do you say in Newtown that you might not recognize if you're from somewhere else?
Would you like, can you give me a call tonight? That's a big thing. Just, yeah, asking someone to call him.
So that doesn't seem, I mean, right off the bat, I think I understood what that meant, but maybe the people of Fredericksburg wouldn't?
Yes, yeah, because, you know, no one there is calling anyone. They don't have a phone. They don't have any of that.
So they might interpret it as like, you're going to go shout at them in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yes. Shout or, they're just very confused. Mm. When you say it in front of them, they just look like they're, it's like you're saying absolutely gibberish in front of them. So it's very interesting.
You know, on that note, I've heard some phrases that seem to be, you know, I don't want to say there's a lack of effort, but since the Fredericksburgers don't really understand much, I see a lot of insults hurled at them that, you know, they don't make a lot of sense in our world. Like, I heard one old lady yell to another old lady, I'm going to computer you.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Just misplaced words that they've heard, obviously overheard somewhere.
And they try and repurpose them incorrectly.
Yeah. But, like, don't you wonder what she was really talking about?
I really do. I wonder what she thinks a computer is.
Yeah, I imagine something with seeds is really the only thing that she can probably really wrap her mind around.
You know, I walked by someone from Fredericksburg the other day, and I just said, hey, and they presented me with a bale of hay.
That's a very common occurrence, especially from outsiders, you know.
So, I mean, it's a lovely bale of hay. I like it a lot, but that's not what I was intending. Are there any other instances where this miscommunication is sort of a happy accident and you gain something from it?
Yeah. Sometimes if you were to make a joke like, can I have your house? Sometimes they'll give it to you.
Really? Just right off the bat, they'll give you their house.
They're very literal people, Elliot.
It's confusing. I think the sort of general ownership of the stuff in the town is a little different because the way, you know, money and things are, they're all about trade and
bartering, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point that sarcasm is completely lost on these people.
If you're talking to a Fredericksburger, I have to say I have a couple of, I've gleaned a couple of insights. First of all, if you're going to say see you later, make sure that you enunciate and don't make it sound like see you later, because that's the difference between a playful goodbye and a serious threat.
Yes, exactly. You're right on
now,
with that.
The other thing I noticed is that they have quite an affinity for an old PSA turn of phrase that was popular here in the 90s. They've sort of gone out into the countryside to scour billboards and other pamphletry about it. It was the Buckle Up for Safety campaign for seatbelt awareness.
Yes, but obviously no cars.
Yeah, they are mistaken in thinking that they refer to the buckles, the copious as they are, that they apply to other facets of their life.
And, you know, you bring up a good point, Vince, that PSA was from the 90s, and obviously the Colonial Town was meant to be a tourist attraction, and over the years, people have gotten more and more frightened to go to the town. So the people of Colonial Fredericksburg really have interacted from tourists from, you know, the 90s and the 80s, and have appropriated some of their sayings from the past incorrectly.
Ever since they unsuccessfully tried to stake Madonna as a witch when she was on tour through Fredericksburg, really curbed tourism that occurs after those years.
Yeah. You know, you'll often hear kids yelling, "What's up?" like at each other. And that's, I don't think they really know what it means, but I feel like it's from those, you know, remember those Budweiser commercials?
How could you forget?
The frog. It's weird. That's like one of the only things kids seem to know around there.
Yeah, one guy, I was walking by him the other day, and he said, "Dude, you're getting Adele." And I had no idea what he was talking about.
Oh, he probably meant like whatever the Dell from A Farmer in the Dell was. Like was this some sort of stream? It's a body of water of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. I always love our introspective onto the language of the towns that we're staying in. And so thanks for being our guide on this most cryptic of journeys. Elliot, are you ready? Buckle up for safety here, because we're headed into our fastest paced segment of the show.
I'm buckled and ready for Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid-fire fast fact trivia segment where we sling five fast facts back and forth between us and the guest. Elliot, as it always seems to be, you have the first fast fact for us.
I do. Guilty as charged, Vince. Guys, did you know that although the people of Fredericksburg love seeds, they hate anything in shells?
Wait, is that true?
Yeah. Sally, I'm sure that you know that... you guys use peanuts and other shelled nuts. I don't really know any other shelled nuts, but definitely peanuts to scare
walnuts,
and ward off. Yes, walnuts is another one. You guys use those to
pecans,
scare and ward off. Yeah, pecans is another one. And
pistachios,
so you guys use walnuts.
Elliot.
Yeah, so you guys use pistachios and walnuts and peanuts to scare and ward off the people of Fredericksburg.
Yes, they have special shellless seeds over there. I throw a lot of sunflower seeds at them. I live in the middle of a forest of sunflower seeds, actually, just to keep them out.
Well, and it's because they're scared of the shells. They think they're some sort of tiny hat or other sort of clothing item.
Tiny buckleless hat, which is extra offensive.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It makes sense, I think.
Perfect logical sense. Elliot, I didn't know that. I'm actually not certain I do know what that was still, but did you know that British paraphernalia is actually quite popular in Fredericksburg?
Really?
They're still colonialists at heart, and I believe they're pre-revolutionary. I am a history buff, so I'm guessing that's true.
So you're saying there are a lot of loyalists in the town still?
Tories, if you will. They love red coats. You know, they love tea, and, you know, don't throw that in the water. They don't like that one bit. You know, they love flags that have nicknames.
Yeah, they also all have terrible teeth. Really.
It's really gruesome. It's grisly, actually.
Have you guys ever sent any dentists over to Fredericksburg to help them, or no?
Only as a prank. Only as a fun prank.
Only as a prank? Like, were they like, "Here's your toothbrush," not something like that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just to be like, we were like, you know, sent him over, made him scare him a little bit, and showed him a lot of electric toothbrushes.
Or one of those toothbrushes with the computer motherboard hot glued to it. They probably will freak out about that.
It's a good invention.
Well, I didn't know that, Vincent. Sally, do you have another Did You Know fact for us?
Yes. Did you know that the most popular music you'll hear people playing in secret over there, because they shouldn't be playing music because they shouldn't have electronic products. But you hear a lot of kids listening to the Spice Girls. They're really famous.
Interesting.
Yeah. So girl power is an important phrase for a lot of the youngsters.
That seems very anachronistic to me.
Yeah. You know, I think I might have a little insight. I believe when originally the CDs were purchased by the people of Fredericksburg, they thought it was some sort of wax cylinder recording of John Smith's account of the East India spice trade.
Yes, that is true. Actually, that's not a very well-known fact. I'm impressed that you know
that. We like to do our research on these towns to make sure that we don't sound foolish when we talk about them.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. I'm very impressed.
Thank you, Sally. And you know, Elliot, I think you've got the next did you know for us, right?
I do, Vince. Guys, did you know that although there is a lot of differences between Newtown and Fredericksburg, there is one treaty between the towns?
That's nice. That's always, you know, that bolsters my confidence in their ability to make ends meet, make amends.
It's more utilitarian. And Sally, I bet you could speak to this. You guys and Fredericksburg have signed a treaty that the Fredericksburgians will bathe themselves, and you've given them the means to do so because the smell back in the early 2000s became so overwhelming that the people of Newtown almost had to leave.
Yes. Yeah. It was like July 13th, 2001, I think, was the day, you know,
the stink smelled around the town.
We call it the big stink, is also known as, it was just everyone lost their minds. You just couldn't take it anymore. It was an incredibly hot summer, and it just, we didn't have a very cool winter, not enough rain, so they just weren't fully bathed. So we did have to set up some more modern cleaning facilities.
And so they acquiesced to this, and now they clean themselves on a regular basis?
Yes. I mean, I think it depends what you're considering regular. I'd say that you're probably getting more of like a once a week deal, but that is way better than
once every 2 years, I think there was their regular schedule.
Yeah, every big storm was their bathing session. So yeah.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that, but did you guys know that there is a strong contingent of Fredericksburgers who want to have a sport of theirs put into the Olympics?
Vince, what sport could this possibly be?
It's the well-known art of barn raising, of course. Have you ever been to a Fredericksburgian barn raise? It's quite a sight.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's frenetic, even. Elliot, have you been to a barn raise?
I think I took place in a Newtown barn raise, which was burning a barn down in Fredericksburg last night.
Yeah, it's a nuanced play on the word raise, how there's two different, there's like two different ways to spell that.
But you're talking about actually constructing a barn, and they want that to be part of the Olympics?
They do, and then, but the problem is they can never prove that they have any barns, because as soon as they raise one, the people from Newtown come by and burn it down. They usually use like an e-cigarette to start the fire, just to rub it in their wounds.
And I think battery operated is really
absolutely
how we try and burn it down. Yeah, it's fun though. You should really come try and make it for one of those. It's always a good time.
Sally, is there any like Jesse Owens of barn raising from Fredericksburg that would do actually really well if this was an Olympic sport?
Yeah. There's a man named Joe Smith, who he's 96 and he builds barns. Like, it's amazing. You almost feel sad when we do burn them down because he's worked so hard.
Especially heartbreaking because they have to paint a portrait of the barn to try to preserve it as proof, and before they can even get the outline sketched, it's already smoldering.
But you know, we sometimes roast marshmallows at it, so we also have like a good s'mores night for everyone, which is a really good time.
But they've never seen marshmallows or chocolate or graham crackers. Just the sticks. They can play with the sticks, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the people of Fredericksburg don't have s'mores. We come over from Newtown and we eat them. We definitely don't offer them to them.
Important distinction. Well, Sally, I know you're a busy woman with a fascinating career, so thanks for taking the time to join us on our humble little program.
Yeah, thanks for asking me for some information. I feel like I'm pretty well-versed in my city, so I'm proud to talk about it.
I mean, it's been evident throughout this conversation that you were the person to talk to about these two towns. And much like the s'mores you guys roast over the smoldering remains of a Fredericksburg barn, Vince, I think we should cap this episode off with a nice golden brown finish.
What an evocative segue, Elliot. I agree.
I'm talking, of course, if you didn't catch on, about Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, we would love to take you along our journey to all these small towns and have you experience them firsthand, but that's just not feasible. There's only so much room in the RV, and most of the bit is taken up by copies of Chew on This. That said, we've got the next best thing for you. It's an audio postcard from us to you, and it goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Newtown, Virginia.
An albeit normal town that is decades and hundreds of years ahead of its neighboring town of Fredericksburg.
Decades, you might even say centuries in the future compared to Fredericksburg, who often harangues the citizens of Newton with their antiquated ways.
A town home to amazing computer engineer Sally Carlson.
A town where you might want to keep a few batteries and a few seeds on hand, both for throwing purposes.
And a town that you should all buckle up and go to.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey listeners, thanks for joining us in Newtown, Virginia. And we hope you stick with us next week when we're in Early Rhode Island.
Early Rhode Island is home to the most houses and buildings featured in exterior establishing shots in films and television shows. So come back, it's going to be great.